Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Elizabeth Roberts, who is the Teen Outreach Coordinator with Refuge of Hope. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited about our program today. I've had Refuge of Hope on the air before.
Great.
But it's always great to have you all back because you're doing great things and you're really educating a lot of people out there. So let's get started. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I have three daughters of my own, and I'm just very passionate about teenagers. Love them, love visiting and talking. And over the course of a couple of years, kind of like the Lord just directed me to Refuge of Hope to be a part of what they're doing there at their facility and in the schools.
May I ask, you talked about being very passionate. Have you always been involved in this type of ministry or this type of education?
You know, I, over the years, have always been a part of teen activities.
Okay.
That's kind of where I feel it's my calling. And when I became a part of Refuge, it just really opened the doors to go and speak to kids and just try to encourage them, let them know that they have value, worth, and purpose. And Refuge of Hope had a teen outreach coordinator, which I became 2 years ago and have been doing since.
So let's talk about Refuge of Hope. What is their mission? What is their purpose?
Refuge of Hope is a crisis pregnancy center. It's off of Violet Road, and we offer all types of support for the clients. We have men and women. We've had as young as 12 come in there, all the way up, you know, through aging and being able to have children. We offer peer mentoring where they can come in and they can ask questions and just get just one-on-one with someone with their own situation. We have organizations that we are in a partnership with where we can give them a reference to, let's see, they need to get some medical attention, or often they might even be homeless or they've been kicked out of their home, and we have other organizations in Corpus that are helping meet that need. Also, we have an Earn While You Learn program where they can come in. All of our services are free. They can get a free pregnancy test. It's confidential. They can come in for diapers, food, baby clothes, all kinds of things. And our Earn While You Learn program is where they come in, they watch videos, and they get points for coming in and watching, you know, how to feed your baby, how to take care, how to save money, how to use a car seat. And what we do in turn is they use those points to receive any of the things that we have there in our facility for that they might need for their baby.
So let's talk about some scenarios. You mentioned that some of these, you call them clients, mm-hmm. are homeless. Now, are these young people? Are they teenagers sometimes?
They are. Many of them are. Maybe they just haven't had the structure of support at home to figure out what to do with being pregnant. Often they are repeat clients.
Okay.
So we have found that about 75% of teenage girls drop out of school. They find out they're pregnant. They drop out. They don't have the support, the family networking at home to help them. And so we're really trying to merge with the schools. There are 7 of 8 schools in Corpus Christi that have daycares, high schools. So we are trying to help them educate their students in, first off, how to make better choices, so they're not in this situation, and if they are, how to give them services and things that they need to have a healthy pregnancy.
Okay, so let's suggest that there's a young woman, maybe 13, 14, and she finds herself pregnant, and she's kicked out, so then she doesn't have a place to go. She doesn't have any food. She's probably not getting any prenatal care, and she goes to Refuge of Hope, and you all either direct her or offer some services to her.
Yes. We try to, first off, encourage her to keep her baby.
Okay.
And that's most important, sanctity of life. We do have some that they are interested in adoption, so we have some referral services that we can do for that. We really try to connect them with some type of support because, you know, the last thing you want to do is put them back on the street. You know, some of them come in pushing a stroller. They walked to the facility or they got a friend to bring them. And so we really try to connect them with someone, whether it's a church. We have several churches who've partnered with us also to be in support. So we're really looking to try to help them in whatever way we can.
So then I would suggest that their alternative, because it's a quick fix, is to have an abortion.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That it's not something that we, it's a part of Refuge of Hope. We do not recommend. We don't send them as a referral. But yes, you're right. So often that is the first thought to terminate that pregnancy, not knowing that that's a living, breathing, heartbeat, precious child. And, you know, they're just looking for a quick fix. And we know that abortion is never a quick fix. It has lifelong pain and heartache associated with it.
The teen outreach program. What do you do and what do you coordinate?
One of the best things that I've ever been a part of, we are in eight to nine high schools.
Okay.
We are in a few middle schools, but I set up presentations. We go in and just visit with the kids, trying to encourage them to make good choices, have healthy boundaries for themselves. We try to give them an idea of what an example of a healthy relationship is, because so many of them don't have that at home, whether they have two parents, one parent, homeless.
Live with their grandparents.
Live
That's
with grandparents. Yes. And so it's really interesting when we get to visit with them what their stories are. And we really want them to realize they have value, worth, and purpose, and that it's never too late to make a change, to stop a certain behavior that they might be involved in a relationship. It's never too late to stop and start over and regroup. So that's kind of my pitch to them. And along with a personal testimony that kind of brings it to real life for them.
So I imagine two different approaches. We have different organizations that go into the classroom and really scare the bejesus out of the kids, hoping that they won't be promiscuous,
yes,
but they still end up in certain kind of activities. I remember in high school in my health class, they had us all in a stadium, and there was maybe 300 of us, and then one out of every seven people got this card, and we didn't know what was on this card.
Sure.
And sure enough, they tell us, okay, go ahead and turn the card over, and you know, different people, your classmates had a card that says, I have HIV, I have gonorrhea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was completely embarrassing, but they were trying to get a point that one in however many young people has an STD. But what was really awful was that they were showing us, and I had never seen pictures like this. I didn't even know what body parts looked like, but they were showing us pictures of STDs on actual body parts, and it was very disgusting, very scary, and I can imagine my mother didn't want me seeing those things, but she didn't know. And so how does that differ from what you do in the classrooms?
Well, first off, when we talk to the kids, most of them have – the only experience they have is their own or what they've heard. They really don't have the facts about STDs, and we've learned that one in four teenagers have an STD. Most of them don't even know it. Texas is somewhere third or fourth in our nation in teen pregnancy, and Nueces County, San Patricio, we always seem to top the chart in Texas on teen pregnancies. So We don't want to scare them with pictures. We just kind of go in and tell them what we're going to do over the 2 days. Often the classroom has already touched on abstinence or just the risks that are associated with teen pregnancy and sexual activity. So I don't go in blind. Most of the kids have touched on it a little bit. So often their parents, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable talking about those subjects. And as we have learned over the years, if you can touch on those things before they're there, it's a lot easier to have that open communication than when they're a teenager and they're starting to date someone. So we really go in, we open up with, like I said, I share a personal testimony that happened to me when I was in college, and how those choices begin to filter into consequences that you may not realize right now. But those girls get a sexually transmitted disease, and then they find the man of their dreams 10 years later, and they find out they can't have children because these sexually transmitted diseases have so many different consequences. But what we go in, we just talk about, what does that healthy relationship look like? And, you know, we put on the board, we have a lot of group activity where they have the input. They have to come up with the solution. And it's just a really neat time. We show a video that has been approved through CCISD, and usually whatever school we are in has approved it. It's Pam Stencil. She goes in and does abstinence pro-life videos, and so we show a little bit of that, but we try to keep it on a really open, positive note so the kids will interact.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Another free concert, but with a group you may have never heard before. The United States Naval Academy Women's Glee Club will perform at Corpus Christi Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway, on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, at 7:30 p.m. Having performed around the world since their founding in 1976, these women will perform classical, sacred, folk, and patriotic music with a sound that will make you an instant fan. The Cathedral Concert Series has done it again. For VIP membership or priority reserve seating and more information, call your Cathedral Concert Series at 888-7444.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and again, I'm here with my guest, Elizabeth Roberts, Teen Outreach Coordinator with Refuge of Hope. I was remembering a time when I worked as a volunteer in a crisis pregnancy center, mm-hmm. and these young women would come in with 2-3 kids behind them. They were pregnant again, mm-hmm. and I remember distinctly one young lady saying, well, I just have too many kids. I'm just going to have an abortion with this one. And it was so nonchalant, and I was thinking to myself, they just don't know, or they're under a lot of pressure, or they need support.
Exactly.
And maybe their life is in a tailspin, mm-hmm. and they just get into relationships and don't know what to do with mm-hmm. themselves. And so they need a lot of support.
Yes.
That's what these centers are there for. And I'm glad to know that you all are reaching out, particularly you as your role, are reaching out to young people to give them support. Because you're right, sometimes families are not open and honest with their young people. And and it's a touchy subject. I mean, my 9-year-old was asking me, I remember her saying, Mom, Isaiah, who is her brother, he's one year old, Isaiah's so cute. How did you make him? And I was like, okay, I'm not ready
for
this.
How
did I make him? So our kids need a lot of support. And you're right, 1 in 4 young mm-hmm. people have an STD.
Yes.
I think about half of young girls who get pregnant do not graduate from high school.
Right.
And so that's very challenging. So What's some of the feedback that you get from the students that you visit?
Well, I brought today some of the responses. Usually what I do, it's a two-day program. After the first day, I usually give all the kids an index card and ask them to put some type of feedback, either something they liked or a question or something that they don't feel comfortable asking anyone and they want to ask. They're always very open and honest, and so I really appreciate the fact that they do. If they don't have anything to say, I laugh and say, just put, I've got nothing.
Okay.
And that I get some of those too. But I've probably, out of about 3,000 students that we've seen in 2 years, I probably have close to 1,000 index cards with comments. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read a couple of things. I'll just run through them really quick. These are some of the comments that I get. The first one is, it's hard to avoid sex and drugs when it's all around you. Another student said, what should you do if someone is pushing you to have sex? And I'll just keep going. These are comments that have come. I had sex and I regret it. And these are all anonymous. I tell the kids, please don't put your name on it. I'm scared that I might not be able to save myself from sex. Staying confident is hard. Do you have any suggestions for someone with low self-esteem and is close to the point of considering sexual actions to be to feel like I am needed and wanted?
And that's really, I think, the root of a lot
it
of
is.
Behavior.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they want to feel a part of things, and so often selling their body off for a moment of attention is basically what it is. And as we know, that relationship is usually never permanent. We try to encourage these kids to understand what marriage is like and what
commitment
mm-hmm. and what that positive relationship looks like. It's full of respect and trust and honor and forgiveness and all the things that, you know, we hope and desire out of marriage. But if they don't see it, and of course our culture, the sexual revolution has just gutted all the ideas of what marriage should be, and it's all over what they see in the media, what they hear.
You know, as you're reading these, I'm remembering in high school, I had a friend who must have been 15, and I remember her saying, for my 16th birthday, all I want is to have sex.
Mm.
And sure enough, next year, she came to school with a big belly. She was pregnant, but that
mm-hmm.
was her goal
mm-hmm.
For her birthday. And it's amazing how much support these young people need today.
Yes, you're right. And what I have found is many of these girls don't have fathers to stand in the gap and to meet that need. Girls need their dads, and they need their mothers too, but they need that role model to say, you know, I love you, and to give them affection, because as we know, we all love to be touched, and we all love that comfort of loving someone. But if someone's not meeting that need at home, whether it's, you know, it's through love, it's a father, a stepfather, a grandfather, an uncle, a mentor, somebody needs to let them know that they have value, worth, and purpose. Because if they don't, they'll search for it elsewhere. And usually the first thing is something that we don't want them to be a part of, which is being sexually active with someone. A couple of more of these were, does your past really have to reflect your future behavior? And we talk a lot about
that's an intelligent question.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that was a great one is, you know, how does what you're doing now potentially affect where you succeed? You know, I always tell the kids, show me your friends and I can tell you how your future life is going to be, if you're going to succeed or not. Because if you're hanging around a crowd that's not empowering you, often you become what you're around. And if it's not good influences, that's usually some of the choices that you make. Here's one that I got from a local high school. She said, I wish I had waited. I wish I didn't have sex. Why is it so hard to find a loyal and faithful guy? And, of course, that could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, what are some of the recurring ones that you get? Any themes that you see? I wish I would have waited.
I wish I would have waited. what do you do when you're in love and the person wants to be sexually active and you don't want to? I get that a lot.
Okay, so they feel pressure. Mm-hmm.
They feel a lot of pressure. They feel like they're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so often I tell kids, you got to be okay with being different. I know so many of them want to go with the crowd.
Now it's different to abstain and to save yourself.
Yes, yes.
Whereas in the past, it would have been the norm.
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's very rare. It's very rare. And when we go in and talk to the kids, we don't want them to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have already made choices, not just sexually, but through drinking or drugs or smoking. They've already made some of those poor choices. And so don't ever want them to feel guilty or ashamed. We just really want them to stop the behavior that they're involved in and move towards something better. And I can't tell you how many times, which is so fulfilling for us when we go in, that, you know, kids will say, "You've really changed my perspective on this," or "I was debating on being sexually active with my girlfriend or boyfriend, and I really think it's better for me to wait." So it's very rewarding, mm-hmm. but it's also a kind of I think it's great for the kids because somebody is telling them, like I said, that they have value, worth, and purpose.
And the parents, do they have to sign anything to say that my child will be talking about sexuality in the classroom?
You know, that's a great question. Some of the schools, TM, for instance, we've gone into their high school regularly, and then we've recently, this past year, we went into the middle school and did a presentation, and yes, they did an opt-out form.
Okay.
That allowed parents to have obvious control over what their kids were a part of, and, you know, not every kid is ready for those discussions, mm-hmm. and we really try to be sensitive to the age, making it age appropriate. Like I said, I try to talk to the kids as if I would want someone talking to my daughters.
Okay.
And so that's kind of my measurement of how kind of what we say and the protection of the words that we use with the kids.
Let's end with an experience that you might have had with one of the students that's really just stayed with you over the course of the last 2 years.
Okay. I'll give you a girl and a guy scenario. One of the schools had a girl. I got through pretty much with my whole presentation, and at the end, I always ask the kids, "Do you have anything anything you would like to ask or whatever?" And one of the girls started crying at her desk, and when I went over, I knelt down and asked her, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I just need to say something to my class." So she stood up. And with tears flowing, she apologized to all the kids who knew the choices she had been making. And she just said, I want to change, and I want to make a public apology for what my reputation has been." Now, whether or not she changed, but the fact that she opened up and obviously something struck a chord for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then at another school, I had a young man afterwards come up, and he just put his face in his hands and started crying. And he said that he played sports and had been with numerous different girls, and he just said, I need to make a change. I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, thank you for coming out. And like I said, you know, we just go out and present the material.
So these are conversion stories.
It's a change of heart.
Yeah.
And so that's all we hope, is that they walk away just rethinking, you know, the decisions that they're making.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for sharing with us your role at Refuge of Hope, and we appreciate everything you do. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
Thank you.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
If you've ever been around someone who is deaf, you know that they need to be looking at you face to face in order to hear you. The expressions of your face, the shape of your lips as you speak, and the motions of your hands signing words help them clue in to what is being said. In a very real sense, they cannot hear you if you are turned away from them. We are all familiar with the story of Samuel, who as a young boy was called by God in the middle of the night. He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Eli told him to go back to sleep, that he had not called him, so Samuel went back to sleep. It happened again and again, until the third time Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" In his youthfulness and the darkness of night which surrounded him, Samuel was deaf. He could hear God calling, but he had no clue what was being said, because he was not facing God. It was only after Eli explained what he should listen for that Samuel was able to hear and understand God's words. In Genesis, God tells us, "God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life." To breathe breath into someone's nostrils requires facing them in a very intimate way. Perhaps we don't experience God's word in the same way Samuel did, or maybe we think that we're not getting anything out of Mass. It could be that we're not hearing anything because we are turned away from him. Nonetheless, God is speaking. If we want to have life, if we long to know joy and peace, it is necessary to look for it at the source who is God. Many things in the world tempt us to turn away from these gifts of God, things like ambition, pride, envy, and self-pity. These are but a few of the more obvious things, but there are many others that are less so. To hear God who calls each of us by name, we must face him. Then it is necessary to attune our hearing to him. We have to learn how to listen, how to read the signs that are expressed in the events and persons he allows us to know. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing good things that we forget to take care of the very first things that have been entrusted to us. It might be that we place more importance on work than spending time with our family. The danger is always in turning away from God. The Lord said, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire there was a tiny whispering sound. May you always seek to hear God speaking in the circumstances of your life, and may he bless you with good friends to turn you in the direction of his voice as he calls you to the labors of his love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Elizabeth Roberts, Teen Outreach Coordinator with Refuge of Hope. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-241-5300. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.